Hi there, my name is Alex DeBoer, and this is Seeking Office. So, on January 24th, the Globe and Mail published an article that stood out to me. It added fuel to the debate over how to best address Vancouver's housing affordability crisis. The story, reported by Adrian Tanner, highlighted a study done by a Michigan-based research organization called the Upjohn Institute, and this study was led by someone named Evan Mast. So Mast's study looked at 11 American cities and found that when market-rate rental is built in low-income neighborhoods, it's actually good for the low-income residents. It benefits them. And it does so by bringing down rent in the area where the new housing is built by 5 to 7%. So while people may have assumed that when wealthier people move into a low-income neighborhood, they just cause gentrification and they cause rents to go up, this study seems to prove the opposite. And not only that, the article says a simplified version of the Upjohn Institute study found the same results hold true in Vancouver. This Vancouver-specific study was done by local data analyst Jans von Bergman. A few days after this Globe and Mail article was published, Mayor Kennedy Stewart retweeted it saying, "If you want to stand up for renters and fight displacement, you should fight for more rental housing, period." While Mayor Stewart took the studies as proof that the city's supply-side approach to solving the housing affordability crisis is working, not everyone agrees with him. Patrick Condon, a professor at UBC's School of Architecture and a former city planner, was mentioned briefly in the article, arguing that building new market-rate rental will not make renting cheaper. In fact, Condon refutes that the study's findings apply to Vancouver at all. And as a renter, I was curious to know more. What will make my experience living in the city more stable and affordable? Because right now it's neither of those things.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good, I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. To find answers, I started by reaching out to Patrick Condon. So I'm wondering if you can tell me what the kind of opposite argument is to that supply-side theory.
The opposite side of that supply-side theory when it comes to the city of Vancouver and the Vancouver region is that we don't actually have any low-income neighborhoods or low-income rental areas. Rental rates have been exceeding average incomes for quite a while now, and that has created a crisis of affordability.
So to be clear, what Condon is saying here is that people who aren't technically low income can still be paying more than 30% of their income towards rent because in Vancouver, the city is so expensive and the disparity between wages and rent is so great. So the Upjohn study, which looks at low income neighborhoods, doesn't translate well here in Vancouver.
So the study, which I have looked at U.S. metropolitan areas that don't necessarily equate. They don't have the same level of international investment in the land base that we have here. So in some respects, putting a new apartment building in this city is likely to enhance the attraction of urban lands here for the investor class around the world.
Not only does Condon think building market-rate rental feeds global investment in Vancouver land, he thinks the driver of Vancouver's affordability crisis isn't quite the same as what drives the affordability crisis in the 11 cities looked at in the Upjohn study.
We have a different driver here than the one that the study was assuming. The study assumes a supply and demand issue. We don't have a supply and demand issue. What we have here is a global investment issue.
So you're saying that there is actually enough existing housing in Vancouver for the population?
Well, you can get on thin ice here. You don't want to say that a huge influx of new apartments would do nothing. But under present circumstances, the amount of new housing units, both in the rental category and in the condominium category, has exceeded population growth for quite some time. And how does that make any sense? Well, it makes sense because a lot of that new product is empty and a lot more is underused.
So Condon thinks the Upjohn study doesn't apply to Vancouver because it doesn't take into account our specific affordability issues, which include the massive gap between wages and the cost of housing and the amount of investment in Vancouver land. But what about the study done on Vancouver by Jans von Bergman? In the Globe article, von Bergman says his simplified version of the Upjohn study finds the same results. If his study is correct, then maybe supply is the answer to Vancouver's housing affordability crisis. But I wanted to get more details on his methodology.
Hello, James.
Hi, this is Alex from CITR calling. So I gave von Bergman a call and asked him to explain his study.
So the study tells us that on a very simple level, if we look historically, areas with added housing in Vancouver have, on average, also added low-income people.
Okay.
Whereas counteracted this trend of basically dropping low-income people that persists throughout.
Okay. So as more housing is built, more low-income people will live in that city.
In that neighborhood.
Right. Okay. Right. But then the way your study was referenced in the Globe and Mail article that came out on January 24th, it seems like what you're saying is a bit different than what is asserted in that article, isn't it?
Correct. So it only looks at, basically, it's more closer to the aspect that looks at the change in the low-income people that MAST also looks at, so not at the rent aspect of it.
So to reiterate, von Bergman's study didn't look at rent, or the type of housing that's built. What he found is that historically, when the city builds housing of any type, the neighborhood that receives that housing also generally sees an increase in low-income people. And this is a crucial difference to note. However, von Bergman does think the Upjohn study's findings would apply generally to Vancouver. He believes the major problem in Vancouver is one of supply, meaning we just don't have enough housing. And when I tell him Condon rejects this theory, his reply is emphatic.
I'm saying flat out we don't have a supply and demand issue is demonstrably false. I'm not saying that's the only issue we have. But, there's just so many. I don't know when the last time was that he looked for a rental apartment. But, we have a vacancy rate of 1%, and it's been like this for a long time. If you look on a regional level too, we have a job vacancy rate of about 4.8%. Mm-hmm. So 4.8% of jobs are currently actively looking and not filled. It's by far the highest in the country.
But I like.
And yeah.
Aren't a lot of Vancouver homes and apartments empty?
No.
No?
No. I mean, okay. We have fairly good numbers now from the speculation and vacancy tax and from the empty homes tax.
Okay.
There are probably evaders there, and so the numbers might be higher. But if we're looking at the actual numbers, empty homes tax has about 2,000.
2,000 empty units is the number that the city reported in its 2018 annual empty homes tax report. However, that number doesn't include empty properties exempted from paying the tax. An exemption might be a landlord gets a renovation permit, or there's a transfer of property. So if you include all the empty suites, the number becomes 6,245, which is approximately 3.3% of all properties in Vancouver. But regardless of which numbers you choose to focus on, Condon says the amount of units that sit empty only contribute to Vancouver's larger affordability issue. The point he wanted to make in the Globe and Mail article has a lot more to do with wages.
My point, and I was only quoted for one line in that same article, my point is that the real problem here is not the availability of housing. It's the phenomenon of our wages are not even coming close to what the cost of housing is, particularly for the millennials, like I assume by your voice, I might be presumptive that you're in that category
yes.
of people in their 30s, late 20s and 30s, mm-hmm. who are having a hard time finding housing. That's
Absolutely.
Because your wages are not compatible with what's going on in this region.
To bring this to the experiential level, mm-hmm. I'm someone who is a millennial and I've lived in Vancouver for a decade or more, and I'm in the low to moderate income category, more low income. And I know yep. a lot of people in their 20s and early 30s who are in this exact same category. And in the last decade, the city has been incentivizing the construction of rental housing.
Right.
But I don't know a single person in my demographic who would say that things have not just become worse and worse and more hostile mm-hmm. for low-income people and young people who are renting in this city. So, like, I don't understand how, if this study is true and like, the city's housing policies, if they're working, why aren't they actually working for me?
Right. So, I think... You know, in many ways, I think that's a really good question. And I don't want to deny that experience at all.
Yeah.
Because I can absolutely, you know, while, you know, I freely acknowledge I'm comfortably housed in my condo, but, I feel very privileged that way. But I very much appreciate the frustration that people feel, because it's very, very real.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's easy for me to say sort of, my comfortable position where I say, okay, you know, this new rental, this luxury rental, it doesn't help you directly.
Yeah.
But there's this abstract mechanisms that are in place where they do, and we have some measures that say that overall it actually is beneficial. And there's sort of this abstract thing that confronts this very real frustration. So I understand that is a leap.
Von Bergman goes on to say that while he believes market rates can come down if we keep building more housing, Vancouver will always be an expensive city because people want to live here.
Which means we do have a huge need here in this region to add also low-income housing. And it's exceedingly frustrating to see that another luxury building somewhere gets put up somewhere. And again, no low-income housing got built.
Yeah. That frustration is well known by low to moderate income renters like myself. The thing is, even if the Upjohn study findings do apply to Vancouver, best case scenario, that means rents will drop 5 to 7% in low income neighborhoods where market rate housing is built. That's only maybe $30 or $50 a month. And I'm not sure that amount is worth having faith in for renters who are living in precarity or who have already been rent-evicted or dem-evicted. The situation seems more urgent, and Condon thinks the city's supply-side policies and rental incentive programs are a distraction from tackling the real issues.
We're wasting our time. Deck chairs on the Titanic, quite frankly, with these Rental 100 and these other taxpayer-funded subsidies to land speculators, basically.
Condon thinks the solution to Vancouver's housing affordability crisis involves increasing property taxes and giving direct support to low-income people, as well as massively expanding co-op housing. And none of this has to do with building more market-rate housing.
So adding density doesn't fix the problem. That makes the problem worse, quite ironically. And I think the average person has a hard time getting their head around that one. It
yeah.
took me quite a while.
It seems counterintuitive, right?
It seems very counterintuitive.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. This story was reported and produced by me, Alex DeBoer. Special thanks to Armand Reyna, as well as Patrick Condon and Jans van Bergman. The songs you heard are Il Fonte from the album Architect by Blue Dot Sessions, and Volantis from the album Cauldron, also by Blue Dot Sessions.